Historically, as we shall discuss, while the early expansion and conquest spread Islamic rule, Muslims did not try to impose their religion on others or force them to convert. As people of the book, Jews and Christians were regarded as protected, dhimmi, protected people, permitted to retain and practice their religion, be led by their own religious leaders, be guided by their own religious laws and customs. For this protection, they paid a poll or a head tax. While by modern standards, this treatment amounted to second-class citizenship in a modern nation state, in pre-modern times, as compared to Christianity, for example, it was very advanced. Of course, this position is contended today. And indeed, some Islamic reformers from Egypt to Indonesia, from Europe to America, attempt to work to re-examine their faith in light of the changing realities of societies. Like Jews and Christians before them, they seek to reinterpret the sources of their faith to produce new religious understandings that speak to religious pluralism in the modern world. Many challenge the exclusivist religious claims and intolerance of ultra-conservative, fundamentalist, and extremist Islamic leaders and groups who believe that they alone possess the true interpretation of Islam and attempt to impose it on other Muslims and on non-Muslims alike, what I call a theology of hate. The use of jihad in the Quran helps us to explain the term's varied use and misuse throughout history and why it is such a central and, in a sense, comprehensive term. Jihad's importance, jihad as exertion or struggle, is rooted, as we talked about in an earlier lesson, in the Quran's command to struggle, the literal meaning of the word jihad, in the path of God, and in the example of the Prophet Muhammad and his early community, his companions. Jihad as struggle refers to the difficulty and complexity of living a good life, struggling against the evil in ourselves, to be virtuous, moral, making a serious effort to do good works, to help reform society. Depending on the circumstances in which one lives, it also can mean the right, indeed the duty, to fight injustice and oppression, to spread and defend Islam, to create a just society through preaching, teaching, and if necessary, sacred struggle or holy war. The two broad meanings of jihad, nonviolent and violent, are found in the Quran and expressly contrasted in a well-known prophetic tradition that reports that when Muhammad returned from battle, he said to his followers, "We returned from the lesser jihad, warfare, to the greater jihad." The greater jihad, of course, is the more difficult and more important struggle against one's ego, selfishness, greed, evil. Throughout history, the call to jihad has rallied Muslims to the defense of Islam. In recent years, it has been used in wars of liberation, wars of independence, as well as wars of terror. We can see it in the decade-long Afghan jihad against Soviet occupation, in Palestine, Israel, Bosnia, Kosovo, Kashmir, and Chechnya, as well as its use by terrorists like Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. Let's take a closer look now at jihad in the Quran, its violent and nonviolent uses. The earliest Quranic verses dealing with the right to engage in a defensive jihad or struggle were revealed shortly after the Hijra, the emigration of Muhammad and his followers to Medina, in flight from their persecution in Mecca. At a time when they were forced to fight for their lives, Muhammad is told, "Leave is given to those who fight because they were wronged. Surely God is able to help them who were expelled from their homes wrongfully for saying, 'Our Lord is God.'" Chapter 22, verses 39 to 40. The defensive nature of jihad is clearly emphasized and underscored in chapter 2, verse 190. "And fight in the way of God with those who fight you. But aggress not, God loves not the aggressors." At critical points throughout history, Muhammad received revelations from God that provided guidelines for the jihad. As the Muslim community grew, questions quickly emerged as to what was proper behavior during times of war. The Quran provided detailed guidelines and regulations regarding the conduct of war. Who is to fight and who is exempted? When hostilities must cease? How prisoners should be treated? Most important, verses such as chapter 2, verse 294, emphasized that warfare and the response to violence and aggression must be proportional. As the Quran says, whoever transgresses against you, respond in kind.